Thank you, team. You've got your Bible open there to that Matthew 16 passage as we preach about the church for these next five Sundays leading us right up to Easter. Remember Easter last year? We didn't gather on Easter last year, but we plan to, and next Sunday I'll be laying out our Easter weekend plan for you and let you know what we're going to do. We're looking forward to a great, great resurrection weekend. Jesus said, I will build my church. A couple of years ago, I was standing over in the Recreation Outreach Center on a Wednesday night, just saying hello to people as they came in. A family came that I had not seen. They were guests, first time, came in. And so I said, welcome. And they had a little boy, I don't know, just about this tall. And as little boys sometimes do, he was pretty verbal. And he kind of put one hand on his hip, looked up at me, and he said, are you the manager? I said, well, I've been called worse, so I guess so. But I said, I'm not sure if I'm the manager, but I can tell you one thing, I'm not the owner. Amen. This is not mine. It belongs to the Lord Jesus. It is His church. Jesus said, I will build my church. So let me remind you, you're not the owner either. I'm not the owner. I couldn't afford it. It cost the blood of King Jesus to purchase the church. He is here with these disciples in Caesarea Philippi when he makes that statement, I will build my ecclesia, the word church, used only three times in the Gospels, all in Matthew. Right here, Jesus speaks it. I will build my church. That's what I want to look at today for a few moments in what I simply call the owner of the church. Jesus owns the church. Next week, we'll see that he's the head, but today he is the owner because he says it is my church. I had a guy come see me one time who said, Pastor, you're really messing up my church. I said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, but I said, I just want to encourage you and remind you that it's not your church. He said, well, you know what I mean. I said, well, I'm not sure what you mean. I just know what you said. You said it was yours, and it's not yours, and it's not mine. But we are to care for it. Now, I will say from time to time that we shouldn't be renters. We ought to be owners, and we ought to be all in. But ultimately, King Jesus owns the church. He will build his church. Let's add what I want to look at for a few moments this morning. As the owner of the church, what does he say about it? Simply four things I want you to see very quickly. Give an invitation. I'm going to invite some of you to come today and believe on King Jesus. I'm going to ask some of you to come and like these, to be baptized and be ready to do that next Sunday or the week after when you're ready to be a part of that. I'm going to ask some of you to come, put your membership here to belong and be a part of this church. For those that are online with us today, thank you for being a part of our online congregation. For those on television, radio, thank you. I'm going to invite you to reach back to us as well and put your heart and life in the local church. Number one, I want you to see out of this text what I call the message of Jesus' church. Now, notice where he is. Jesus is here, and it says he's in Caesarea Philippi. Now, if you've ever visited the Holy Land, that's to the north in Israel, and when you go there, there are large, huge, high rock walls, and they are sometimes blood red, especially when the sun splashes on them. And Jesus is standing here with Peter and the others, and there's rocks, a rock wall that is there in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asks a question, who do people say that I am? They say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead, the old prophet. Some say you're Elijah, come back, that one that was taken up in a fiery chariot. Some say you're Jeremiah, that one that wept like you weep over Jerusalem. He was the weeping prophet. And then Jesus asked this pointed question, who do you say that I am? And old quick draw Peter, he's always right there. Peter jumps into action. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Everything the Old Testament promised is in you, Lord, and in you, our teacher. We're following you, giving our life to you." Jesus said to him, "Oh, Simon, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You used to be called Simon. Now I'm going to call you Petros. And upon this Petra, I will build my church. This is the message of the church. The message of the church is the rock. Now this, pay close attention. This is one of the greatest theological divides in all of the church. Some people believe that Jesus is saying that on Peter, I'm going to build my church and Peter's the stone. No, no, no. He said, "Petros, that's your name. You call him Rocky. You were Simon, now you're Peter, you're Petros. But on this Petra," it's a different word, "on this stone," he builds the church not on Peter the person, he builds it on Peter's confession. Peter confessed, "You, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "That, I will build my church on that." That's the foundation stone of the church. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. That is our message. Jesus used it to close the greatest sermon that was ever preached, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount, he comes to the conclusion. You know the story. He said there were two men. One built his life on sand, the other built his life on stone. And the winds blew and the rains came and the storm came. And the man that built his house on the sand fell splat flat. But the man who built his life on the rock, on the stone, stood firm. Everyone in this room is building your life on something. And if you build it on the sandy soil of the best you can do, you will fall. But if you move your life to the stone foundation of Christ, you will stand not only here, but for eternity. That's the message. The message is the rock. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 19 and verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my what? My rock and my Redeemer." There it is. He is the rock. And then Paul said it in Romans 9 in verse 33, where he said, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." There is a stone. His name is Jesus. There is a rock, and you may stumble over him and not believe. But if you will believe, he says, you'll not be disappointed. You'll know eternity in glory, and you'll know forgiveness of sin in your life. The message of the church is not me. It is not you. It is not us. It is Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, who embodies all of the Old Testament law and the prophets. And he came and lived and died, and God raised him again. He is the Christ. That is the message. We have but one message to proclaim, and it is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Secondly, I want you to see what I call not just the message, but the members. The members. Jesus said, "I'll build my church." This is an interesting word, ekklesia. It's two words. It's like a bolt with a nut screwed on it. Klesia is the root. Ek is the front. Ek, klesia. Ek means out, like that exit sign means out. Ek is exit. Klesia is called. We are the called out. The church member has been called out of the world and out of sin to come and put his life on the stone. Jesus called again and again and again, "Come, come, come, follow me, follow me, follow me." 13 times in the gospel you find Jesus saying, "Come and follow me, come and follow me, come and follow me." He said it to Matthew, "Come, follow me." He said to Levi, "Come, follow me." He said to Philip, "Come and follow
me. He said to Peter and Andrew in Matthew 4 and verse number 19, he found these dudes fishing, and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you not fishers of fish, but fishers of men. But there's a sad story. In Matthew 19, Jesus called a man. He said, come follow me. He was a young man, like some of you. He was a ruling man, like some of you lead. He was a wealthy man, like some of you. When Jesus said, leave all you've got, come and follow me, he would not. And he turned his back on Jesus, and the Bible says he went away grieved in his heart. If you turn your back on Jesus, you'll go away grieved in your soul. But if you turn to him, there'll be great joy that will come. Come, come, come unto me. Jesus said in Matthew 16, in verse number 24, Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'm going to invite you in just a minute. I want you to get up out of your seat and walk right here. Come and follow Christ. Come and don't follow me. Come, follow Jesus. I'll lead you. I'll help you. Paul did say, come and be with me and I'll show you the way. Well, we'll help you know the way. Some of you say, preacher, I'd come, but I'm just not worthy. Amen. You're ready. You already checked the first box. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. You say, well, I'd come, but I don't think I can live up to it. Amen. You check the second box. You got it right. You can't do it. You can't live up to it. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I just, it's not in me. Amen. Let me make you a promise. When you come follow Jesus, he puts in you himself. And he is the power in the inner man that will cause you to have capability to live up to it, to live it out, and to follow after. In perfection, never. Not until we're the other side. But he'll give you the strength. My wife, and I had nothing to do with this, my wife bought for our grandchildren a boat for Christmas, a little boat. Remote control that you could put in the pond and it'd go around. About this big. Then she got a catalog from them after she bought that one. And it had another boat. And she bought it. And it's the head of an alligator. And you put that in the pond. Under the dock. And you wait for your friends to come and then you take them out there and well, she got in, we put it all together and it wouldn't work. Two college degreed people, we couldn't get it to work. They gave us the wrong batteries, but we finally got it right and plugged it in, put it in there. I turned it on, nothing. I said, what is going on? Then I read the instructions again. I'd read them several times. It says it will not work until placed in the water. I said, there's no way that's true. I marched right down there to the pond, and I stuck it in the water. I turned that thing on. Hear me. You can't live for Jesus until you get the right batteries in you. And the Holy Ghost will live in you and be. And you will not live for Jesus till you get in the water. I don't mean in the baptism. I mean till you get in the storm, until you get in life, until you get in where you need to go. Only then does the strength kick in. You don't step back and just say, well, you know, let's see if it'll... No. When you step out, he steps in. He gives you strength and power. He's looking for those called out of the world, out of themselves, to come into him so he can give them strength to to do what God would have them do. Thank God for those that are members of the church. They've come and said, I'm ready to follow. Some of you are ready today. You're ready to come and follow Jesus. When we sing this song in a minute, come and let's begin the journey of redemption. We see the message. We see the member. Number three, quickly, we see the movement of Jesus' church. Notice what he said in verse 18. I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of death, the gates of Hades, will not overpower it. The church is on a movement. It's moving in this world, but there are things that come against us. When we're in this world, there are gates of the philosophy of death, of Hades, that stands against the message of the church. And as we try to go forward, the gates are there. But let me tell you, the gates will not prevail. No. The church will find victory. She need not back up. She need not be embarrassed. She need not say, I can't, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The gates of death will not prevail against the church, not only in this world, but this passage really has an application of the next world. There's a day coming when you've lived long enough, you will die, and death will let go of you, and you'll go to be with Jesus in glory. Death won't hold you. You'll be with Him. Lord, we've buried too many people lately. In the last week, I buried Tommy Carpenter. He'd sit right over here. Boy, I'd preach, and he'd sing and shout amen. Those hands up, glory to God. Tuesday of this week, Jerry Wood, who's over here at 9:30, I'll do his service right here at 9:30. Out of the 9:30 service, I'll do it 2 o'clock on Tuesday. I think I said 2, 1 o'clock, Tuesday. Oh, Brother Jerry, he and Tommy just on both sides. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I can hear him now. Oh, he'd help this preacher. There's nothing worse in church than a misplaced amen. You know? This shoving and everybody in there goes, oh, come on, man. Oh, Brother Jerry's always right on it. Just at the right time. Amen. Brother Tommy's gone, death couldn't hold him. Brother Jerry's gone, death couldn't hold him. Now bless God, somebody in here is going to have to learn to say amen. I need some help. The middle's been kind of covered, but these wings are a little weak, all right? So I need some help. Thank God that death can't hold us. It's the movement of the church. While we are here, the gates can't stop us. And when we're ready to die, gates can't hold us. Thank God for victory that's in Christ. It's the movement of Jesus' church. But number four, I want you to see quickly with me. There's what I call the mission. Now, this is probably the most controversial part of this text. The mission of Jesus' church. Look at it with me in verse 19. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, now, Peter gave you a new name, and I'm going to tell you something else. Now watch this. This is really powerful, but it's controversial. Peter, I will give you and the church the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give you the keys. What do keys do? Keys lock and unlock doors, right? Okay. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Peter, I give you the keys. What in the world does that mean? What you bind is bound. What you loose is loosed. Well, when you understand that the symbol for the scribe was a key, the key was the symbol of the scribe. The scribes and the Pharisees out of the Bible. The Pharisees, those legalistic religious people. The scribes wrote the law. They didn't make it up. They copied it. And they would write and rewrite and write the copies like the Dead Sea Scrolls. Here he's saying, Peter, I'm giving you the key. Peter's going to write Scripture. James, you're going to write Scripture. We're going to meet a guy named Paul, and he's going to have the keys. He's going to write Scripture. Friend, I hold in my hand, as you do, the key. This is the key. This is what binds and looses in kingdom activity. We find a great illustration of it in the book of Acts in chapter 15. The Gentiles are getting saved, and they're trying to get the Jews and the Gentiles to get along. You talk about the need for revival. They hated each other. But when the Jews and Gentiles got saved, they both came out of a background. And we find in Acts 15 in verse number 20 that the Word of God says that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled from blood. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, these Gentiles were coming, and they were trying to get them and the Jews to get along. And so he said, we write to them. They were given the key. They were laying down what they were to do and not to do. Now listen to me. We live in a weird, wacky world. Trying to find truth is not easy. But you got the keys right in front of you. You need to, that's why you need to read this book every day. You need to study it. You need to parse it. You need to understand it. There are things in this book that have been bound for eternity and things that have been loose for eternity. Lying is wrong. The book binds it. Idolatry. You make a god out of anything, save Christ. It's wrong. Sexual relationships outside of marriage. He writes right here about it. Fornication. Sexual relationship with another while you're in marriage. Adultery. Wrong. He binds it. You don't have to agree with it. I'm just telling you it's eternal truth. Romans 1 deals with one of the toughest issues we've got going on. It's right in front of our nation right now. It's the transgender issue, and same-sex marriage. It's all around us. Read Romans 1. It's pretty clear. Now listen to me. Our job as the church in our mission is to deal with sinners all around us and speak the truth with love to them. Now, if you just tell me to speak the truth and I don't have to love anybody, oh, hallelujah, I'd skin you nine ways from Sunday. Or if you just tell me I just love everybody but don't have to deal with truth, I just put my arm around everybody and love you. But I have to deal with truth. And so I put those things together. You've heard all about the 1965 Civil Rights Act. It used to be that black people were treated where they couldn't even buy or sell certain things. Civil Rights Act said it was illegal. Church should have been speaking into that stronger. Some things being added to that right now. Seeking to know what's going to happen. But our job is to find out what's true, and it's loose and bound. That's our mission. We speak it. You say, well, everybody won't like it. Well, hallelujah. Not everybody's here to like it. Now, I'm just telling you, you should pray more for our college and high school and middle school ministers than you've ever prayed in your life. They are dealing with more difficult issues now than ever we've seen. Many of these issues I never heard of until the last 10 years, really, that were out in front of us. We never dealt with them when I was a kid. It just wasn't there. They were underground. They were there. They just didn't come public. the abuse of children. So many people are scarred because of that abuse. And we must have ministry to them. You have to confront that family. You see, what's bound is bound. What's loosed is loosed. On the racial front, it used to be that we didn't even come to church together. That's been loosed. Yeah. You find the truth and you stand in it. That's the mission. Our job is, we're not in the condemning ministry, though we have to take a stand. We're in the compassion ministry of sharing Christ. This is what we do. We reach out. Man, I don't like to see people racked by alcohol and drunkenness, and we take a stand against it. But we're going to be a friend of the drunkard. That's why we have Most Excellent Way. That's why we try to help people. That's what the church does. We're on mission. And we say, whosoever will, let him come. He comes in repentance. We put our arms around him and love him. We do. I think of Tommy and Jerry. These guys died in glory today. They both served with, Jerry served on the board of our ministry village. Amen. Tommy, he taught these girls and others. He helped us. Thank God for that. It's who we're to be. It's the mission. And Jesus says, I am building my church one redeemed sinner at a time. They're called living stones. And he stacks them. A stone on a stone on a stone on a stone. And he builds the church. Amen. That's what he does. And he wants you. And you, and you. And he says, come and I will love you. And I will change you and I will redeem you. And he said, well, Pastor, I'd come join a church, but I'm looking for a perfect church. I can show you one. It was in the newspaper this morning. There's a perfect church. Today's their last day. They're going out of business today. And it won't be anybody in the church next week. That's the perfect one. No people. Now, don't go join it. Because it'll become imperfect when you get there. It's not about perfection. It's about Christ. It's about the stone. Now, for the next 5 weeks, I'm going to give you three words. And you'll hear these until it's like manna coming out your nose in the Old Testament. They ate it till they were sick. I'm going to tell you again and again and again. There are three words I want you to get in this series about the church. The first word is believe. The second word is baptize. The third word is belong. You should believe. You should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you in this room today, you've never believed. You never made a profession of faith. You never said yes to Christ. When we sing this song in a minute, I want you to come. I want you to believe. I want you to make your profession and say, today, Pastor, I believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you ought to be baptized like these three were. Well, it was great to see a couple baptized together, wasn't it? Amen. That's great. Husband and wife coming. See them to come. You ought to be baptized. Dead to Christ, alive to Christ. Jesus died for me, raised from death. That's what baptism means. It doesn't save you. It identifies you with everybody else that's been saved. You should believe. You should be baptized. Then you should belong. I'm praying during these 30 days that we'd have 30 people baptized and 30 people join the church, moving their membership. That's biblical. The Bible says that God added to the church daily, such as should be saved, one every day. So we're just praying for 30. We've already had five. We had two at Warrington today and three up here. That's five. 25 more to be baptized. pray we could do more than that. But what a great goal to have, just one every day coming. Some of you should come and be baptized today. And then somebody ought to belong. We're praying for 30 people to belong and move their membership. I had a couple, they were planning to come join today, but they couldn't come. Somebody was sick. They sent me a text this morning and said, "Pastor, we can't be there today. We'll see you next Sunday." I said, "Amen. That's good." And they sent me a byline down at the bottom, said, "It's not COVID. Hallelujah." I said, "Amen." I said, "Just a little under the weather." And they've moved here and going to come join a church. Have you believed on the name of the Lord Christ? If you've never believed, today's the day of salvation. To be baptized, to come and unite with the church here. Maybe you're at home, you've never done that. You'd like, just reach out to us. Just send me a text at 94,000, the word Savior. We'll reach back to you. We'll help you with that. We'll encourage you. If you're watching online, then let us know. On television, call us. We'll be glad to help you. Write us a letter. That'd be great. Love to hear from you. I'd love to hear some good news. I get enough bad letters. I get them every week. I didn't even preach last week and I got hate mail. I get it every week. Amen. It's what we do. Maybe you want to belong. 57 years ago, I heard the gospel. And I came and believed. I believed on the Lord Jesus. With all that I had in me, I believed. Next Sunday night, Nolan Ford took me into baptistry. It was the coldest water I'd ever been in. And he baptized me. It's an old rusty tank. You couldn't do that today. It's nice, warm water. He baptized me. I stayed in that church till I moved off to college and I joined a church. I walked and said, "Be a part." I went to seminary and joined North Fort Worth Baptist Church. Liz and I moved our membership to North Fort Worth. I wasn't on the staff. I was a seminary student. They put me on the finance committee for 3 years. Greatest education I ever got in church politics. Being on the finance committee at North Fort Worth Baptist Church. Man, I learned a ton. It was really good. They were training me up. After we finished there, I went to Henrietta to be the pastor, and we put our membership there. We moved to Dallas. We put our membership there. Stayed less than 3 years, and then 1990 we came here, and Liz and I put our membership right here, and since that time many of you put your membership here. I'm grateful to God for you. Glad that you're a part of the family. Make us perfect? Oh goodness, no. It's tough. It's God puts all of his people together, but he puts the power and the energy within us. And he convicts us, and he cleanses us, and he changes us, and he sanctifies us, and he makes us more like Jesus day after day after day after day. And then he unites us and makes us one together in Christ. Do we always all agree? Goodness, no. Man, you ought to pray for our young leaders, but you ought to pray for John Tyner more than anybody. He got the toughest job at Olive Baptist Church, trying to get everybody to love the music. Oh, God help him. John's not here to please you. Amen. He's here to please me. No. He's here to please the Father. Amen. And to lead us to give praise unto the Lord. It helps him if he pleases the pastor, but it helps him. It just pleases the Lord. And to bring us, we don't all agree on all of that. But it's the miracle of the church. That God puts us together to make us one because we've believed, we've been baptized, and we belong unto him and to one another. Some of you today need to take action. It's called the first step. That's why we call the tables out there the next step. That's why we call this table the next step. It's the next step you take. The first step to come to Christ. The next step to baptism. Next step to belonging, putting your membership into the church. Thank God for the church. Amen. Today,
You ought to come running to Christ. Come running to the baptistry if you've never been baptized. We'll set a time to do that. And then to belong. I had a young couple, I did their wedding a week ago yesterday. I did the wedding, I got ready to do it, and I said, "Where's the marriage license?" They said, "Uh-oh, we forgot it, we left it at home." I said, "How far is that?" They said, "About 30 miles. I said, "Well, we got trouble." And I counseled and we did all the stuff. And so they brought their marriage license this morning. I signed it right over here. I did it by faith that they had paid the money and had it, and they did it. And so they brought the license. We opened it up on the Next Step table. I signed it, dated it a week ago Saturday. You have 30 days. And they mail it in. That made official in the eyes of the state their union. You walk in that water, that's when you sign your certificate. I am one with Christ. That's when you go public with that. As soon as you believe, you're one. But the public statement is Christ. I identify with your death and your resurrection. If you've never done that, I invite you to come sign on a dotted line today. Say yes to Christ, yes to His church. Peter, I will build my church. And you, dear friend, are one of the living stones in that church as God places you into it. This is your day, and now is the accepted time. Come and follow Him. I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, get up, come right here, come to that table, go to a table out there in the foyer, and we will receive you this good day and help you with your walk with the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for that you bind and loose. I pray this day that you'd add to the family of faith that people come. I pray for our people at Warrington right now with the invitation going on that they'll step out and come forward. I pray for our friends online to believe and belong. Have your way. My heart and every heart I pray.